The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour, broadcasting this time from an upscale restaurant at Settebello. Beautiful Settebello. That's in the Village Square Shopping Center and features tonight three wines from California from Francis Ford Coppola Winery called... Well, I'll tell you what it's called a little later. We'll be pairing the cuisine from here with three of these wines. And being America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, we bring you great information each week about good wines and great food. Thank you for all your inquiring emails from your home country, from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Chile, from Baja California, and from France. Just about anywhere, welcome. Our in-house special invited guest audience tonight is both hungry and thirsty, and we're going to get started here real shortly. On program broadcast, remembering that each week we reflect on what this show is all about, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering the show that we'll discover lots of information about taste and flavor, and we enjoy good food, and we pair it with excellent wines each week. Wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned, and you will need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during our broadcasts. Wines du Jour and the Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio, CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we are also available on podcast and free on iTunes. So listen to Wonder Radio and Warp Radio as well. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial or that TV remote. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. But first, we have a special guest from Francis Ford Coppola, and that is specifically the director's cut, the winemaker, who is Sandy Walheim. Sandy, are you there?
I am here. Thank you very much for that introduction.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to spend a little bit of time with this evening. We really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk a little bit about the wine.
Well, I've been with the Coppola Winery since 2006 here in Sonoma County. I've made wine for other wineries in Sonoma County, so I was really happy to come and work for this winery, which is a very nimble, creative, innovative sort of winery. And the director's cut group of wines was meant was a new concept in 2006, meant to highlight the best variety from specific appellations in Sonoma County, which just really seemed to fit my, you know, what I really wanted to do all over. So I was super happy to do that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, Francis Ford Coppola happens to be not only Italian, but he loves wine enough to get out of the business long enough to hire some of the right people, like yourself, to make some wonderful wines in a different, I guess we call them brands. But Director's Cut is the elite. And recently, I think just a couple months ago, I believe your Pinot Noir from Director's Cut won a double gold in San Francisco. Am I correct?
Yes, it did. We've had a smattering of very, very great accolades for some of the Director's Cut wines, and we're very proud of that, not just for what it does with the for the company, but also for the county in highlighting these varieties. Pinot Noir from Russian River, you know, who can go wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Russian River is just about dead center of Sonoma County, which is just above San Francisco, for those of you that might not know. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Sandy and more about Director's Cut from Francis Ford Coppola. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Wine Du Jour. If I were to say Mamarella to you, would that mean anything? Well, it would if you work for Francis Ford Coppola and are in the Sonoma area, because Mamarella happens to be what they call grandma. You and I might refer to our grandparents as grandma or grandpa or whatever the case may be, but Mamarella is what she wanted to be known as, and that really means, translating it from Italian, means little mama. Kind of neat, huh? Anyway, we're talking with the winemaker of Director's Cut at Coppola Family Wines, and that's Sandy Walheim. Sandy, again, I want to thank you for taking time to spend some time with us tonight. But tell us a little bit about Director's Cut and all the neat things that you're able to do at the winery.
Well, Director's Cut is each one of those wines that you're having there tonight probably has between 10 and 14 different grower lots making up their final blend. And when we bring those individual grower lots in, they're all fermented and aged separately and evaluated, and then the final blend is crafted together. So they're really the cream of the crop that go into Director's Cut, each blend. There are lots of nuances in terms of the individual vineyards and what they might bring to the blend, as well as the array of oak that they're aged in and what that can contribute to the blend. So it's a really great, for a winemaker, a really great spice rack to have. But when we're making those wines, and you've heard me say we a couple of times, you know, I don't work alone. I have a great team of colleagues that we all taste these together and kind of bring these wines forth bit by bit with lots of input. And I think that's a wonderful way to go in terms of making sure that we're always challenging ourselves to make a better bottle of wine in each vintage.
Well, I think you've done an excellent job. First of all, the first wine tonight, just so you know, Sandy, is that we're tasting is the 2013 the Director's Cut Russian River Valley. And for those of you listening and those of you here that are tasting it as we speak, it is 100% Chardonnay. But as you heard Sandy say, it comes from different vineyards. So there are different lots. And, of course, we talk about terroir quite a bit on Wines Du Jour over the years. And I think it's important to recognize that just because it says Chardonnay, they're not all the same. Yes, they're all Chardonnay, but there's different, let's call them cultures or species of Chardonnay. And that's what Sandy was referring to when she says she liked to blend them together. It's not different varietals, it's different actual Chardonnay grapes coming from the different vineyards that they have. The terroir in Sonoma County happens to be overall very, very good. Do you agree with that, Sandy?
I do, and even in a place like the Russian River, which is one of our cooler appellations, there's like very cool, and kind of like cool to warm. And we have, for both the Pinot Noir and the Chardonnay that come from the Russian River, we have an array of vineyards in that kind of temperature zone. So that's part of what contributes to distinctiveness and an array of in the flavor profile.
Am I correct in assuming that the distance from the Pacific Ocean to the Russian River Valley is around 40 miles? Am I correct, or is that not correct?
Well, if you were a crow, you would be about 20 miles, but it's a meandering river, and that meandering means, and that's really, the mouth of the Russian River is the conduit to the Pacific Ocean, which is where the cool weather comes from and the cool air. So it can meander up a bit, and you can get a lot of really interesting little microclimate that feeds both with the specific location and what it might see during the day that brings a lot of individual character to that vineyard sitting in that one place.
And that's not to mention the fact that there's almost a constant, I don't know, 6 or 8 mile an hour breeze coming off the Pacific Ocean about 24/7, which keeps the grapes a little bit cooler than if there was no wind. And that's what Chardonnay likes, and it's certainly what Pinot Noir likes. Now, when you get to Cabernet Sauvignon, which we're going to taste tonight, and I'm really looking forward to that, it is not 100% like the Pinot and the Chardonnay is, but it also comes to us from not the Russian River Valley area, but just above Healdsburg, if you know where that's located, in the Alexander Valley. That's a different AVA, and that Alexander Valley is a little warmer, and that's why Cabernet loves to grow in that part of the country. Am I correct there?
Yes. It is much further from the ocean. It still has some coastal influence, which helps cool it off at night, and it's that, and this is like multi-syllable diurnal temperature fluctuation. That's the difference between the cool at night and the warm in the day. That's really what drives a lot of intensity in the Cabernet, and also drives a lot of the really deep color development. Having that,
right.
That cool night and warm day shift.
Well, this Chardonnay has got honeysuckle, butterscotch, tropical fruit. There's just a lot of great flavors in it, and I award you for making the blend of the Chardonnays to come to a taste that is really good. I talk quite often about Chardonnay is not the best wine in the world to pair with food. Well, if you want to pair with food and you want a white wine, my suggestion is to try maybe a Sauvignon Blanc or Viognier, something of that nature. But this particular Chardonnay is actually pretty food-friendly. And just for those of you that are wondering what we're going to pair with that Chardonnay this evening here at Settebello, we have a lasagna that we're going to pair with it. Now, when you first think of lasagna, you think of a red sauce. But guess what? In order to make this work so well with Chardonnay, they're using a Parmigiano bechamel sauce as opposed to the red sauce, which makes it taste so much nicer and a blend so well with that, along with a heavy amount of basil, or basil, if you will. We'll talk about that, of course, with my guest, Adrian Graves, a little bit later. He's the manager here, and he's going to have a chance to come over and sit down and talk with us for most of the program, so that's a really good thing. So does that sound interesting to you, a little Parmigiano bechamel for lasagna to go with your director's cut Chardonnay from Russian River Valley?
You're making me hungry, yes. I think that bit of richness that I perceive that dish must have is probably goes very well with the Chardonnay. But, I do want to say that we're really striving with the director's cut line is to make sure that those wines are very expressive of the fruit that they have. I mean, we have a bit of a light touch with the oak, and we really want them to be food friendly, because in Mr. Coppola's world, food and wine, they're hand in hand. Food, wine, family, really.
Absolutely. My slogan here on Wines du Jour, Sandy, is wine is food. That's the way I believe, and I think you're agreeing with me. And, of course,
Francis
Ford Coppola feels the same way. That's a good thing. Now, for those of you that, even though we're having a bechamel sauce type of lasagna to go with it this evening, I just want to mention a couple other things that I like that go very well with Chardonnay. Also, not just pasta, cream sauces in particular are okay. But you know, Caesar salad, which is not at all Italian, it's actually Mexican, which everybody thinks it's Italian because of the name Caesar. But that goes very well, believe it or not, with it. And also maybe a little curry butter sauce. Anything with curry butter sauce goes pretty well. That means that things like pork or chicken or even ham goes well with Chardonnay, contrary to what a whole lot of people think. So that's what we're tasting here this evening. What are some of your favorite wines that you're producing over there? I know you're going to say all of them, but I mean besides that, just a special wine. If you have a chance for a white wine, what do you go for on Director's Cut?
We do have a Director's Cut Sauvignon Blanc, and I have to say that's my go-to starter wine as a just as a person, as a wine drinker. I like having that as an aperitif. I find it's really a wine intriguing because I think Sauvignon Blanc's a wine made in the vineyard. So
right.
It carries a lot of vineyard
good.
Personality. But you know, like you said, I like everything, which is true. You have me pegged as a winemaker on that one. But I like to try some of these unusual or not unusual, but maybe less prevalent. Italian varieties are very interesting. I work here with, I make a wine here of Viognier, and I find that a very challenging Ooh. Wine to work with because to get kind of the right balance on the palate and everything, that the grape tries to fight you the whole way.
And I understand that your Chardonnay, first of all, we talk about the amount of alcohol in some of the wines. I'm personally kind of opposed to a high alcohol wine. I know why they turn out to be a higher alcohol wine typically, but here tonight you've done a beautiful job keeping it at 14.5%. That's very good. And also the price factor here is excellent, $18. Am I correct? $18 for a bottle of this Chardonnay is a steal.
Yeah, I agree. It's a steal. And just to go back to the alcohol, I hear that a lot, and I too like, you know, I like a little bit lower alcohol wines as well. I like that freshness on the palate. But director's cut,
right.
We want to see balance on the palate.
Right. Well, my feeling is the higher the alcohol content, the less capable it is for pairing with food. High alcohol and food don't necessarily go together very well, so the lower you can keep it within reason, the better it's going to pair with more varieties of food, and that's the reason for it. People don't drink wine, or at least they shouldn't, in my opinion. Drink wine for a party. It's not a Friday night or a Saturday night. That's what they make tequila and gin and vodka and all that sort of thing for. Wine is food, as I have said a little bit earlier, and if you can treat it as food and have it every night the way the medical profession around the world recommends of having one or two glasses of wine with your dinner meal every day, then you're doing exactly what the winemaker would love to have you do, number one. And number two, the medical profession says this is a healthy thing for you to do. If you don't have any medical problems, a glass or two of wine is perfect to go with your dinner meal. And I don't know. I'm assuming you feel the same way. Do you not, Sandy?
Yes, I do. I mean, I almost, except when we're doing, we're working here and we're spitting it out in the cup. We're tasting lots of stuff, yes, most of my wine is consumed in a meal setting, and it's just there's just an endless kind of enhancement on both sides with that.
Yeah. Well, I just think that wine, if you consider it a food, if you understand that you don't want the wine to be too warm, but on the other hand, you certainly don't want it to be too cool or cold, if you will, we typically say that Chardonnay should be around 55 degrees, 52 degrees, somewhere in that neighborhood, and that's just a general number. And red wine would be a little bit warmer, around 65 degrees, to make everybody happy. If it gets much colder than that, you frankly lose a lot of taste. And if it gets much warmer than that, if there's anything that's not really perfect, if you will, in the wine, it comes out when it gets warmer. So the warmer it is, the less beautiful taste it's going to have by comparison to if it's the right temperature. Do you agree with that at all?
I do, and sometimes in our warm Western climate, we can struggle a little bit on having red wine at a proper temperature.
Right, I understand. Sandy Walheim, I want to thank you very much for being our guest here on Wines du Jour. I know you've got to go. I appreciate your time and effort. We've got to go to a break, so I'm going to say goodbye to you. Thanks again, and hope to see you some other time. Be back
thank
in
you
just
so
a
much.
Moment, folks. You bet. Bye-bye. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're here at this beautiful Septabello restaurant that's out in the village. Well, we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. It's in an area in Las Vegas called Village Square. It's easy to find. It's right on West Sahara, Even if you're at a hotel, you can go out west of Sahara and you'll find Setobello. But I want to tell you a little bit about Setobello because they've been here for a few years. I'm going to ask Adrian Graves, who is the general manager here, a little bit more about it. But I want to tell you the story that I know about Setobello and when they started, because my wife and I used to go to the original location. We still do. It's not close to where we live, but the pizza's so good that we go there anyway. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons that I know why the pizza is so good. And this is something that you don't hear, at least not in Las Vegas, and I'm sure you don't hear it too many other places around America. And that is that the majority of the products that they use to make pizza at all of the Setobello locations comes from Italy. There's a couple of exceptions. We'll talk about those a little bit later. But the flour, which is basically what the whole pizza is made out of, and a little prosciutto cotto, the tomatoes that are used. If you've listened to Wines du Jour over the years, you know that I recommend the San Marzano tomatoes is by far the best tomatoes to cook with in the entire world. And you can buy them because they all come from Italy. And there's a reason for it. It has to do with the volcano and the soil condition around that area. That's the southern part of Italy where they grow San Marzano tomatoes. So there's a story about that. But let me talk about the Setobello in a moment, and then I'll let Adrian give us an update, if you don't mind. Setobello started out with two guys, their buddies. They decided they were going to take a trip and go to Europe. And that's what they did. They took off. They went over to Europe. They're traveling around, and when they got to Naples, they said, oh, my God, this pizza is unbelievable. And then they started talking to people about pizza and Naples, which is, incidentally, the Naples is this the town or the city in Italy that's given credit for inventing pizza. That's where it started, okay, just so you know. And so they found out that if you want to open a pizzeria, if you want to call it that, they don't, but we could call it that, a pizzeria in Italy, you must follow certain rules and regulations and get a license to make pizza. Not a city business license. We're talking a license to make pizza and call it pizza. So they went to, there's a school. So they decided they love this idea so much, they went to the school. They both got their certificate. So they come back to the United States and open up Setobello in the Green Valley area or Henderson area here in Las Vegas and started making pizza. They imported the flour. They imported the San Marzano tomato, the prosciutto, which if you're familiar with Italian cuisine, you know that the prosciutto comes from Parma. That's a town in Italy. It does not come from Naples. Also, the Parmesan cheese comes from a town called Modena, and a lot of people call it Modena, but it's Modena, and that's in Italy, but they're the only place that makes that particular Parmesan. They do make three kinds of prosciutto in Italy from different areas, but what's considered to be the best is from Parma. That's my own personal opinion. And then they go to Seattle, Washington, where some of the best salumi or sausages, whatever, come from in the Seattle area for all over the United States. And if you're familiar with, we have a friend that's a celebrity chef that his father owns the salumi manufacturing plant in Seattle, and he grew up that. We'll talk about him maybe a little bit later. And so the salumi and the area from Seattle, Washington is important, and they also make some really great salumi in Berkeley, California. And for those of you that don't know, Berkeley is just east of the San Francisco Bay, and they make some pretty good salami there. So all of those ingredients is what they use here. They don't run down to the Safeway or the Smith's or whatever and buy anything. That doesn't work that way. And so these guys have done so well, they even put a little pamphlet to tell you the story. So if you go in there to order pizza and want a pamphlet, they've got one that tells you pretty much what I said, only in a nicer way, most likely. But the important thing is everybody in the kitchen works out of an Italian pizza oven, And, you know, you hear this, this story about, oh, our pizza is, comes from the hottest oven. It's about 800 degrees. Well, I have to tell you, it's pretty hard to get 800 degrees, but the ovens here are around 1,000 degrees. The quicker you can cook the pizza, the better it tastes. That's the way it works. And then the combination of things that go on the pizzas is unbelievable. You know, it's not just sausage and pepperoni. There's a whole lot of other things. Okay, we got a little bit more to tell you about this, and I'm going to introduce you to, and you'll be able to listen to Adrian Graves when we come back from the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour in Las Vegas, Nevada. Be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're at Set the Bello in Village Square in Las Vegas, and we're having a good time tasting some of the beautiful director's cut wines from Francis Ford Coppola in Sonoma, California. And we are here at the Set the Bello in Village Square, as I said, and the general manager here is Adrian Graves. And I want to introduce you to Adrian. And first of all, Adrian, thank you very much for allowing us to come in and share some hospitality with you this evening.
Absolutely.
And pair some wine with some of this great food here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being here.
Good. Tell us a little, before you talk a little bit, there's something I didn't get to say before we went to the break that I think is important for those of you that are foodies, if you want to call it that. I don't know if that's a good word or not, but... if I were to tell you that the pizza oven and everybody here in Set the Bello and our invited guest audience can look over there and take a look at that Italian oven, that pizza oven, that was made in Napoli, Italy, and it's not just, okay, they assembled it there. There is specific ingredients used, believe it or not, to make it. Now, you think that... the oven is made with biscotto di Sorrento. That is Italian to us. Probably don't understand what it is, but it's made out of brick. Okay? The outside is made out of brick. Now, you see covering on the outside of that, but the brick itself. But this is not just regular brick. Okay? Let me tell you a little bit about that. From Salerno, which is not too far from Naples, is where they make these bricks. And it's the type of... compound that they use that makes the brick hold the heat like we're worried about. And then, of course, as you can imagine, you probably don't think about it, but if you can imagine, once you do think about it, the floor of the oven is very important because it has to either share the heat, or if it's not as hot as the rest of the oven, the pizza isn't going to cook the way it normally should. So what they do is they take the mortar and the bricks together, and it's made with volcanic sand. Okay, now, okay, I told you earlier about volcanoes and why the San Marzano tomatoes were so good. Well, we all know about Mount Vesuvius. We've heard that name. And it's the spewing, if you will, of the soil or the sand all around that area. And that's where they plant the tomatoes. And the soil just makes the tomatoes taste so much better than they do in California, if you know what I'm saying. The handmade artisan oven can properly cook a pizza in about 1 minute, 1 to 2 minutes. That's incredible if you stop and think about it. But the reason is, as I mentioned earlier, it's 1,000 degrees in there. So it cooks great. Melts cheese almost instantaneously. So it's a good thing. Okay, enough for me. Let's have Adrian Graves tell us a little bit about it. Again, thanks again for your hospitality.
Absolutely. So this location has been open since 2013. As a company, we started in Henderson in 2008. Little store. It was actually the head chef whom they met, Mike and Brad, the two gentlemen he was talking about before. Met him in Naples. He went to a school out there for pizza. It is a university of pizza, for lack of a better term. He got his certification. They brought him out here, and it was him, the two owners, working the restaurant. The first day, it was him, two owners, and friends and family helping out, getting the place opened up. And we've expanded to almost eight locations. We just opened our eighth location all along the West Coast, four in Southern California, two in Utah, and two here in Las Vegas.
What about Seattle? What about Salt Lake? Is there still one in Salt Lake?
There's still one in Salt Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, there is. That is, I would say, our, you know, the Henderson location, the Salt Lake location, are the original two. Those
right.
crank out
pizza
at an incredible
first
rate.
Two. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they started going into Southern California, Pasadena, Oxnard, Marina Del Rey, Newport Beach, which is the newest one. And yeah, I mean, it's a very unique style of pizza. You can't get it everywhere. People really flock to us. That oven's so hot, you know, it creates, the pizzas are so lightly topped, and because it's so hot, it gives you that soft, chewy texture. Don't load it up with toppings. You know, it's a very unique pizza.
That sounds great. Well, if you haven't been to Sette Bello and you happen to have one in your area, do yourself a favor and go check it out. And again, all of the materials that they use to make the pizza, no matter where the location is all, like I told you earlier, mostly from Naples and a little bit from Seattle, Washington, some of the sausage or the meat products from Seattle. But everything else is from Italy. And I have to tell you, I don't know everybody that's in the pizza business, but I haven't found another person ever talk about importing the flour, importing the yeast, it just doesn't happen. And the only way to get the original taste is by using the original product. You can't, go to the grocery store and buy an all-purpose flour and use it and expect it to taste like the flour that comes from that area in Italy. It just can't possibly happen. So that's what makes sense, and that's why it's important to kind of be a friend, if you will, of Sette Bello and tell people if you want a good pizza, you got to try it. Let me ask you, my favorite kind of pizza is thin crust. But if I came in here and I wanted a thick crust, will you do it or no?
Can't do it for you. The Neapolitan style pizza is a very, very, very strict thin crust. But you hear thin crust, it's not a cracker crust. It's very soft. It's pliable. It's chewy. It's light.
And tasty.
And it tastes amazing. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted you to know that thick pizza that people brag about with a ton of cheese on it is caca, folks. It is not the best kind of pizza that you can have by any stretch of the imagination. Excuse my French. Is that French? No, I guess it's not, but you understand what I'm saying. It's just not the best way. If you are lucky enough to go to Italy, and my wife and I have been there a couple times, and I have to tell you, the pizza over there is killer by comparison to what you're used to here, except going to Sette Bello. So put it down on your list as a place to go. Forget about the deliver home places and so on that put twice as much cheese to cover up the things that they're lacking in the rest of it. Go to Sette Bello and get the original best tasting stuff. And you do have choices as far as that goes, but not in thickness. A real pizza is not a thick crust pizza. So those of you in Chicago, please understand. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about wine number two, Pinot Noir. Welcome back to Wines Du Jour. We're having a good time here. And let me tell you, right now, as we speak, they're pouring the Pinot Noir, which is 100% Pinot. About the alcohol constantly. And I have to tell you, Sandy Walheim, who was our guest a little bit earlier, did a beautiful job. This is 13.8% alcohol content, which is excellent. In addition to that, the price for this Pinot Noir is, listen to this, $21. Very nice price, very good Pinot. And the San Francisco International Wine Competition just took place, I believe it was either the first part of December or the last part of November. And anyway, they came in and got the double gold. That means they won their competitors, and then they won all the other Pinots also. So it's like the best Pinot they had at this competition, and we're tasting it tonight. And again, it's only $21, which Francis Ford Coppola happens to not be a very greedy person. He puts out great wines at very, very reasonable prices, and that's all the different labels that he has. But if you want the best, look for the one called Director's Cut. That's what I suggest you check. And the Pinot here is very, very good. This is really velvety. It's got all kinds of great flavors. They're kind of complex. The aroma is wonderful. You know, one of the things I talk about often is that when you pick up a glass of red wine and put your nose in it and smell it, if the first thing you smell is cherry, 99% chance it's Pinot Noir. Okay? That's a very important thing to kind of remember. And One of the things I like with Pinot Noir, well, let me tell you first what they have put here at the Sezzabello that they've paired with. You know, we've got right now, this time of the year, asparagus is really popular. It's fresh, it's tasty, it's really good. You can buy a lot of it at a fairly reasonable price at your local market. But they've taken and made a cream sauce with asparagus. So we call it an asparagus cream sauce. Makes sense. And then they've taken some of that sausage from Seattle, Washington area, the sausage, and then they've sautéed some of the asparagus and taken that along with a little Parmesan, some fresh basil, a little mozzarella, and made a pizza out of this. I have to tell you, you're going to go, holy cow, I've never had a pizza like this. And then take a sip of that Director's Cut Pinot Noir. You're going to be a very happy camper. And that'll be out shortly. I just wanted to say that. But in addition to that, one of the things I love with Pinot Noir, and a lot of people don't think about it because they probably don't make pâté at home. You should. It's not difficult to make. And boy, is it tasty. And you get a little terrine. Everybody's familiar with what a tureen is. And make the pâté and put it in the tureen, cover it with plastic wrap, put it in your refrigerator for, you know, at least 8 hours or longer. Take it out and taste that with a little bit of Pinot Noir. It's absolutely wonderful. So try that. Also, it goes well with cold cuts. It goes well with ham. It goes well with just all kinds of meats, we'll put it that way. Fresh dishes, light creamy sauces, and another favorite of mine with Pinot Noir is rabbit, or lapin, as they say in French. Lapin, which means rabbit. I know, you can say rabbit. I know, no rabbit. You go to your grocery store, look in the frozen food section, 99% of the chance there's rabbit in there. And you fix it exactly like you fix chicken, and you're going to love it. It's very, very tasty. Okay, that's just something different. Or I like this with goat cheese. Now, you know, I take a lot of like three or four different kinds of herbs and chop them up real fine and take some goat cheese and bring it to room temperature and blend the goat cheese with those herbs and then roll it back up into I put it in a log shape, put it back in the refrigerator and let it sit for a couple, 3 hours, then take it out, open up a bottle of Pinot Noir, a little bit of crusty French bread and some great I'm telling you, it's really good. Goat cheese that's got herbs and spices together, along with a little bit of bread and Pinot Noir, is really very, very good. So you might want to try that out, too. Also, if you have kidneys, most people don't know what that is, I don't think. I mean, they know the word kidney, but they probably never had kidney. But if you have kidneys with a little mustard sauce, it's just dynamite. With Pinot Noir. And of course, Pinot Noir is one of the great red wines that you can drink by itself. Pinot Noir is, as I've said many, many times here on Wines du Jour, the most difficult red grape to make a good wine out of. The reason is Pinot Noir doesn't like too hot a temperature. It doesn't like it too cold. It doesn't like it too windy. It doesn't like it too still. It doesn't like it too wet. It doesn't like it too dry. And if it's facing where it gets the hot afternoon sun, that would be facing west. If it's on a hillside facing west, it's not going to turn out really good grapes because it doesn't like that afternoon bold heat. So it's difficult to find a lot of winery owners or winemakers that have planted their vineyards in an area that's actually the right terroir, as we like to call it, for Pinot Noir. But boy, I'll tell you, if you find one that's good, remember it, because it's one of the best red wines you can possibly get, in my personal opinion, if it's a good one. Director's Cut is good, and I can tell you, you can go anywhere in America, in particular, into a retail wine store and ask for Director's Cut from Francis Ford Coppola, and they'll have it. Try their Pinot Noir. This particular Pinot is a 2013. It comes to us from the Russian River Valley, just like the Chardonnay did. And it retails, as I said earlier, $21. Not too bad at all. Okay, got to go to another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Pinot Noir, and then we'll jump on one of the great things that they make, too, is the 2013 Director's Cut Alexander Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right after these messages. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. I want to mention two things about the Pinot Noir, and then we're going to go to the Cabernet Sauvignon before we run out of time. There's a couple things about this. There's wild strawberry in this Pinot Noir, which is not an unusual thing, but a very tasty thing. Plus, it also has a typical black plums. You know, you've got black fruit and so on. That's not uncommon for Pinot Noir either. But I just wanted to mention that charcuterie is also very, very good with Pinot Noir. And charcuterie, of course, is the collection of sausages and so on and so forth, just so you know. Okay, let's get down to the 2013 Ford Coppola Director's Cut Alexander Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, this is a blend, and that is a good thing, not a bad thing. And that blend is, listen to what I'm going to tell you that this is has in it now. It's 87% Cabernet Sauvignon grapes. It's the 8% Malbec. It's 5% Cabernet Franc. And it's only 14.3 alcohol content, which is, boy, beautiful for Cabernet Sauvignon. The price, not $48, but $24 that you can buy. So if you like this Pinot Noir and you like this Cabernet Sauvignon, make sure that you get them both at your local retail store. Now, the pairing that they put together for this Cabernet Sauvignon, which will come out here in a few minutes for us, but I want to tell our listening audience a little bit about it. This is something I'm almost positive you've never heard of before when it comes to pizza. This is called pizza brisket. Now, there's a reason for it. You know, if you're from Texas, you know darn good and well what brisket is all about. Beef brisket is, probably the most important and most popular barbecued item in Texas. But they've taken and made brisket here, not barbecue style, just cook the brisket low and slow for a long period, 6, 8, 10 hours at a time. Then they've taken one of my favorite cheeses that go on pizza is Fontina. And that's what they've done here, is they've taken the beef brisket, the Fontana cheese, a little caramelized onion, some fresh basil, and topped it with a little mozzarella cheese, and put it in that 1,000-degree pizza oven. It'll be coming out here unbelievable. Now, the people here in the audience, they had a piece of this pizza with the asparagus and so on. They kind of looked at it like, uh-oh. You know, those little black marks that are on there, you don't think, oh, man, they burned the pizza. Those are on there on purpose, and it's based, when I say on purpose, it's 1,000 degrees in there. That's what happens when it's almost instantaneous. We took a look when they put a pizza in just to see how long it was going to be in the oven. It comes right back out at about a minute, minute and a half. It's incredible. And those little black marks are tasty, believe it or not, and they like that idea because that's why the oven, one of the reasons that the oven is up at 1,000 degrees instead of 750 or 800 like a lot of pizza parlors talk about. Okay, back to the Cabernet Sauvignon. 87% Cabernet, all of these grapes, whether it's the Cab Franc or the Malbec or Cab Sav, all come to us from the same area, and that is the Alexander Valley, which is just above Henderson. Not Henderson. just above, where the heck is it from? Northern part of Sonoma County. Anyway, all I can say is it is very tasty. The price is right at $24. And I have to tell you, I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour Food and Wine program coming to you on this show from Seth DiBello in Village Square Shopping Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show, and we broadcast each week at this very same time, the same station that you're listening to, or you can go to leskincaid.com and choose any listed items 24/7 and listen to the show. If you enjoyed this broadcast, be sure to tell everybody you know and tune in each week. If you want to know more about my favorite subjects, you can log on to my personal website, leskinkade.com, as I said, or winesdujour.com, or join us on Facebook or on Twitter for the current updates. Which is most appropriate because that was...